What's up, Internet? Hey, guys. This is the Rarious Fundamental Podcast, episode 92, recorded June 7th, 2018, brought to you by Rarity.net. My name is Ray Ray. Oh, yeah, so you don't exactly hear the usual theme song that goes on with this podcast, because I got myself a new one! Basically, you know how I always tell you guys at the beginning of this podcast what this podcast is all about? Well, I'll let Doc Nasty tell you what it's all about. Hit it!
Get shot. Rep, time out. Time out. Come on, y'all. Come on.
Ray Ray is fundamental, okay. Number one podcast from the get-go. Yeah. And since you're listening, you got good sense, so let me break it down on this instrumental. It's basketball and all its essences. It's full of pop culture references.
Okay.
Point guards to stretch fours and fives. The last Buffy episode, the Spike survived? Never mind, let me get on track. Houston had a good run and a team was stacked. We had plans for the T-Wolves, y'all remember? Yeah. Quick question in sync, who's your favorite member? Oops, I did it again. Hold up, wait, best team on the court, probably Golden State.
Yeah.
Curry and them, yeah, they out this world, but ask Ray is top five, he's saying it's Spice Girls.
You couldn't see me during this song, but I was totally bobbing my head. God, I sounded super white on that one. Anyway, so yeah, props to Doc Nasty for the theme song. I can't thank him enough, because now he just, you know, gave me a massive ego, because I have my own podcast theme song, which is essentially my own theme song. If I was in wrestling, I would come out to this. Thanks so much, Doc Nasty. I probably owe you lunch and dinner and whatever it is you need forever, because I'm not talented enough to make a song like this, and obviously he is. So yeah, check out Doc Nasty. He's from a duo called Two-Faced. I'll leave the link, because I can at least do that for him. So yeah, thanks so much, Doc, and I owe you forever. In this episode, oh man, that's my train of thought here. Flame Ray Ray, right? This episode, I have Chris Barnwell from CBS Sports coming on this show. We're talking about NBA Finals Game 3. Revisionist history, really, because I've seen a lot of Laker fans talk about how Kobe Bryant did not have help from the years 2008 to 2010, which is ridiculous, because this is already the start of the Twitter era, and he had plenty of help, believe me. Don't change that history. We're also going to talk about Brian Colangelo's firing. Well, not firing, but essentially fired. Because that's what's going to happen anyway to Brian Colangelo. If you guys didn't know the story, The Ringer had a story of 5 burner accounts that were kind of, you know, they didn't accuse Brian Colangelo of anything, but they were definitely defending him. And it turns out that those accounts belonged to his wife. So, after much deliberation and investigation, he was let go. They mutually parted ways, that's what they said, but let's face it, he was going to be let go anyway, by the Sixers. And not only that, but Brian Colangelo actually pretty much threw his wife under the bus, saying he didn't know anything about it. And it's just, oh man, the NBA is great, the NBA is crazy. And of course, besides all this NBA talk, Chris Barnwell was so excited that he wanted to go on this podcast because he wanted to talk about Shaq Fu. Not the Super Nintendo game, but there was actually a Shaq Fu release in 2018, a PS4 brawler this time around. Not a one-on-one fighting game like a Street Fighter or Mortal Kombat, but Shaq Fu, a brawler for 2018. I can't even believe I'm talking about this, but yeah, he played it and he told me all about it in this show. So yeah. Before we go to Chris, let me remind you, you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. Yes, I can finally say that too. And you can also find this podcast on other podcast apps that you like Android and Stitcher and all that good stuff. If anything else, you can also find the show on the original homepage, rayray.net/fun. Follow me on Twitter at the Nola Pass, and also follow my podcast Twitter at rayrayisfun. You can only fit 16 characters on a Twitter handle, so it's only short to rayrayisfun. You cannot fit rayrayisfundamental. So, once again, Doc Nasty, thank you so much. Check out his music page and promo before we go to Chris.
This is Zach Harper, and you're listening to Ray Ray's Fundamental Podcast, because Ray Ray is fundamental. You know, like those NBA commercials with the reading is fundamental. You get what I mean.
Ray Ray is Fundamental Podcast, episode 92. My guest, CBS Sports NBA writer Chris Barnwell, who, remember, also, we talked about Guilty Pleasures in Gaming, like, last year or so. What's up, Chris?
What's that? Oh, man, that was about a year ago with Adam's week-long story of that game he tried to play on Xbox and he just couldn't get it out because we kept
recording. Exactly. So, look through the archives. It's there. Wow. What a day for the NBA.
Dumbest league.
we talked about this. Like, yeah, it may not be the best league, but it's definitely the most intriguing and, yeah, the dumbest league. It's crazy.
I'm sure everyone knows what we're talking about, but let's Brian Colangelo... burner Twitter accounts, he got fired today. Like, if they're... Usually, on terms of stupidity, I have a scale. It's one to college football, because college football has the dumbest freaking storylines known to man of any sport. But there are players in college football who get suspended for stealing scooters on their way to class, and then, like... they don't actually steal the scooter, they just leave the scooter wherever they happen to, like, go to class. And Cam Newton... We're already off the rails, who cares? Brian Colangelo...
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Who cares? Go ahead.
Necessary. Cam Newton once got fired. Didn't get fired. He once got kicked out of the University of Florida for stealing a laptop, which he wrote his name on, and then chucked out a window. That's a real thing that happened. So, yeah.
Man.
So, as far as Brian Colangelo getting fired because of potentially his own burner Twitter accounts that we're pretty sure at this point was his wife's burner Twitter accounts that she was using to defend his honor, to which he then denied knowing about and then threw his wife under the bus over. This is full on college football levels of stupid. We are at maximum stupidity. Let's go. Dumbest league. I love it all.
Seriously, what was the payoff of making five Twitter burner accounts? Five.
One of them was actually Colangelo's for following the news.
Yeah. Okay, I admit I have multiple Twitter accounts. I have one alternate one. I have one for my podcast. I have one for my dog. That's fine. But other than that, like, what's the point of, like, I don't know, putting out sensitive info and defending it against, you know, unknown people? Really, what's the point?
Attacking media members, like, vitriolically. Which...
Yeah.
Not just, like, oh, you suck. Like, just vitriol and anger. Just...
Oh, my gosh.
Unknown sources. Enough unknown sources. Honest Abe. Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
It's all so good. This is in the middle of the NBA Finals, and it happened.
Yeah.
He just got fired on a random Wednesday. He just got fired on June 7th on a random Thursday because of the Ringer putting out a report that he had some potential burner Twitter accounts, and then Twitter investigated it and found out. It's like, oh, no, these might actually be his wife's. And then, oh, my God, it's ridiculous to even, like, rehash.
You can never tell me that it's only Twitter. That it's just Twitter. No, you cannot tell me that ever again.
Hashtag
because
never tweet.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Never tweet. But seriously, like, you cannot tell me that Twitter doesn't do anything. Because it does. First of all, it's a public forum. We already know this. But now, we got an NBA executive essentially fired because of Twitter.
And Kevin Durant got in trouble for ripping his old teammates through his burner accounts, apparently, earlier in the year.
Yeah. Never tweet. Oh, my gosh. It's almost like they need some, like, media training or something.
Well, that's the funny thing. Is like, I swear they get training these days. I don't know, maybe...
I thought so. Yeah.
Oh, man, to be a fly on the wall in the rookie symposium this year. Adrian Wojnarowski, wherever you are, I'm sure you listen to this. He listens to all your podcasts, I'm sure of it.
I'm sure he does.
You need to get your sources in there, and you need to find out all the stuff they are telling these rookies, because I need to know if they're telling them to have burner accounts, or if there's, or if this shifted to no burner accounts, avoid the burner accounts, have a burner account fall, man.
All joking aside, this is pretty new for any sport, really, because Twitter's only been around for, what, 12 years?
My favorite thing that happened after the initial report came out from The Ringer was some NFL reporters saying that an alleged burner account by a Colts executive got erased or went offline or went locked, like, the day after the Colangelo story broke.
Yeah, and also that, remember that the two of the five accounts, right, were deleted or were made private after the Colangelo report came out, like, immediately?
I think it was three of the five, and
yeah,
it was the three that had not been, they had not been informed that The Ringer knew about, because when... If I'm remembering correctly, I should really be a smart. I should really be actually good at my job and pull up the article like someone good at their job would do. But congratulations, everyone! I'm not good at my job. If I remember correctly, they had three Twitter. He had five Twitter accounts. One is actually one he used for the news. The other four we're not sure about. Two was definitely his wife, by the looks of it. But three of them went offline or went locked when The Ringer went into The Ringer asked him about the Twitter accounts. So to me, that means he definitely knew about at least three of them. He definitely knew that his wife was out there doing something with those Twitter accounts, or he was using them too, and he is not being completely accurate about that. Which that's another funny thing.
Is very possible.
That's another funny thing about this whole thing is he keeps denying it, and no one believes him.
And he throws his wife under the bus! Like, oh my god! Yeah! It's like, oh, I never knew anything about them. Yeah.
I hope he is... Whatever payback she's getting in the house on him, I hope it is swift and painful, because he's going to be paying off for throwing her under the bus for a while.
Of course this could all be some plot that they're going to have a reality show in, like, a month or so called the Colangelo House or something. Like,
hosted by Sam.
You know how this goes sometimes, right?
Oh, man. Let's get full TMZ on this. This is already the most TMZ story in years.
Please. Seriously. And then, you know, we see the fixings of, like, how they handle NBA teams and how it is behind the scenes, stuff like that. It'd be good. People will watch this, I think.
I think it'd be one of the... If you kept it short, yes. I think you kept it, like, four episodes, just really quick four episodes, then yes. But I think people would get bored very quickly when they realize, oh, it's just old rich people doing old rich people things.
Yeah, well, I mean, people aren't born the Kardashians, so...
Fair point.
Who knows? Who knows, right? Oh, man.
Now, in the history of weird NBA Twitter moments, or not NBA Twitter, it's just weird NBA moments in general... What's funny is there was a bracket earlier in the year of, like, all the weird stuff that had happened this year, you know, the tunnel incidents, J.R. Smith throwing stuff,
yeah,
all this weird stuff.
Yeah.
And then after this happened, everyone was like, nope, this one wins. Like, we don't even need to put it in the bracket. We don't even need to think about it. Like, it's the immediate winner by far, which immediately put it into NBA legends, which makes me ask you, what can even come close to as weird as this? Because I already know mine, but I really want to know yours.
You know what's funny? Because, like, Nikola Mirotic got punched in the face earlier this year, and no one's even talking about that.
Who cares about it?
Yeah! Like, oh, man. I don't even know. Like, we know about the whole DeAndre Jordan getting kidnapped by the Clippers, right?
That
like,
is the best... That is... This was great. Colangelo's story was great. That is still the funniest thing that has ever happened in the NBA with anything. Because of not just him getting kidnapped by his teammates, everything that happened before then with the emojis and
yeah,
reporting and Mark Cuban apparently driving around desperately trying to find his house. everything that happened with that story was incredible. And then the players were leaning into it, because what we've seen from this story is Colangelo avoiding it, and sure, Joel Embiid had some fun with it on Twitter, but the main people involved were generally trying to avoid it. And at the end of the day, someone got fired over it, so there was a somewhat serious implication to it. The DeAndre Jordan was just funny and hilarious and stupid. Like, there is nothing that will ever top Chris Paul tweeting out a banana and a boat to represent banana boats in the middle of this.
Yeah. And then here we have Paul Pierce tweeting a rocket emoji. Well, it wasn't really a rocket emoji. It was more a picture of a rocket emoji.
He posted a screenshot of a rocket emoji, not the actual rocket emoji.
Oh, my gosh. The funny thing is that while the emoji thing was going on, I was having this podcast with Adam and Robbie Callen when it was happening.
Live.
So we're just... Yeah, we're just having live reactions toward the emojis. It's just like, what the hell's going on? Like, what's JJ Redick posting or whatever, right? So it was just crazy.
In Orlando Summer League, and there was a game in front of us. No one in press row. Everyone in press row was just glued to their computer screens watching Twitter have a meltdown over the DeAndre Jordan saga. And it lasted all day. It wasn't just one of those things that kind of lasted for a few hours and everyone kind of moved on from it. It lasted the entire day. Just every couple hours, there's a new update or a new tweet or a new picture of Blake Griffin posting a chair in front of DeAndre Jordan's doors, we're locking him in there.
Yeah, and of course the fallout for like a few more days after. So that was a talk for like a week, basically.
And
it was crazy.
They played cards.
Yes, they did. And of course, everyone else is gone, and DeAndre's still in the Clippers. How funny is that?
Poor guy.
I know. Seriously. Oh, man.
He got a lot closer to the playoffs this year than Blake did, so.
Yeah. That's true. How many burner accounts do you have, Chris?
I have one burner account. It's not particularly hard to find. It is a personal account that I created when I first got on Twitter, so my friends could follow me on Twitter without having to see me tweet about basketball nonstop, because they said I tweeted too much, and yes, I do tweet too much. Do not follow me.
Fair enough.
I created that personal account, and that's basically the only reason. Like, that's my one alternate account that I have. People send me requests sometimes. Sometimes I accept them. Sometimes I deny them. It's a personal account that I use for personal reasons. Like, sometimes I tweet about basketball in there. Sometimes I complain about people. People who follow me know I've complained about things on Twitter before, which just, that's meta.
We all do.
Stupid. But it really is more just so I can post stuff that, let's be honest, no one on my main Twitter account cares about. Most people don't care about what anime I happen to be watching at that moment. It's like that's just a factual statement. I'm sorry. Most people don't care that I got into running, which that's a weird thing. I never thought that would be me. And every once in a while, I post like an update of my runs on my personal account.
And as I mentioned earlier, I have multiple burner accounts. Well, what's the definition of a burner account anyway? Alternate accounts, or
does
just accounts that where you're just like,
does a burner account? I feel like a burner account has to be hidden.
Yeah,
alternate account is just, it's a second account that people like. Finding my alternate account is not hard. I know you follow it, but most people could find it fairly easily if they look hard enough. Like, they don't even have to look that hard.
Right.
I feel like a burner account is, like, something people don't know about, and it's very well hidden.
Yeah, well, people already know my other alternate account. Like, it's just my IG name, duh. And I have two other accounts, one for the podcast, and one by my dog. For my dog. Yeah.
It's a good dog.
It's a good dog. It's a really good dog. I mean, I wish it could really tweet, but I'm just really translating for her, so there.
How's it going, everybody? This is Bradley Geyser from Sacktown Royalty. You're listening to the Ray Ray's Fundamental Podcast, and listen at your own risk.
Did you get the PR email that I feel like everyone got today on the odds on the next NBA star to get caught with a burner account?
I did not.
Okay. I'm going to give you three names, and you're going to guess who has the best odds.
Okay.
Lonzo Ball. Kyrie Irving. Damian Lillard.
Ooh.
Who will be caught with a burner account next? Not who has one, who will be caught?
Ooh, wow. I'd say Kyrie.
That's a good guess, but Lonzo Ball has the highest odds at plus 2,000.
Okay, that's fair. I didn't say Lillard because I feel like Lillard's pretty straightforward. That's why.
Actually, there's no one gets caught is minus 9,000, actually, which that's kind of funny. Yeah. other players on the list, Lonzo Ball is plus 2,000, J.R. Smith is plus 4,000, Rajon Rondo is plus 6,000. I don't even know if he... Does he have a Twitter account?
He does, I think, but he barely tweets.
I don't think he cares enough about... Rondo is so Rondo. I don't think he cares enough about people to want to... Like,
No.
DeMarcus Cousins plus 7,000, Kyrie plus 7,000, Carmelo Anthony plus 7,000. Carmelo's way too old to have a burner account. He calls someone...
If Brian Colangelo's wife can afford burner accounts, why not Carmelo?
You know what? That's a good point. I just feel like some of these players, like just like Draymond Green plus 8,000. Draymond does not care.
Draymond! Yeah.
Draymond Green care what people think about? This one's funny. Kawhi Leonard plus 8,000. I feel like he's a funny, sneaky, dark horse pick just because, like, Kawhi has that personality of not caring about anything, and he's so quiet, and secretly he's out there just ripping people.
Yeah.
Damian Lillard plus 8,000. You're right about Lillard.
So.
I could see Lillard having one only because he's the type... He's so active on Twitter, I could see him having one for that reason alone. Just because people who are active on Twitter, for whatever reason, we feel the need to have multiple Twitter accounts.
That's true, yeah.
Y'all have a problem. Blake Griffin plus 9,000. Anthony Davis plus 10,000. Is that an extra zero? I can't tell if this is an extra zero or not. I think Russell Westbrook is plus 10,000. Steph Curry plus 10,000. Giannis plus 10,000. Giannis, I don't think there's a chance he has a burner.
Yeah.
Oh, this would actually be hilarious for a Giannis burner account is he has his burner account and all he uses it for is he speaks in he writes in perfect English and has no issues at all. Everything, he's over here posting about Kool-Aid and Funyuns and pedicures over here, and then on the other end, he's like, F everything, F you, F that, and he's like, this mean jerk of a person. So, everyone fell in love with Giannis, the super nice guy who, has the heart of gold and just likes smoothies, and then over here is just this total a-hole.
I can totally see that. That'd be great. I almost wish it was true.
That would be the best burner account.
I'm all for it. Yeah.
Just a complete personality change, a Jekyll and Hyde personality change for the different accounts.
Yeah. Well, we all thought Kevin Durant wasn't mean, but I mean.
That dude was leaking that out for a while.
Yeah. All right.
I guess actual basketball did happen last night.
I guess so. Game 3 NBA Finals. Kevin Durant carried the Warriors, and LeBron James did all he could, triple double. There's not really much to say, is there?
I thought it was kind of weird how the overwhelming feeling of LeBron last night was he was good, but he wasn't great when he had a 33-point triple-double. that's just weird.
I think it's because people are expecting a 50-point triple-double, that's why.
Right, he scores 50 in game one. He has a triple-double in Game 3. I don't know what more he can do.
I know.
I guess he can shoot for J.R. Smith. Or he can teach Jordan Clarkson how to pass. I don't know. Really, though...
You can tell LeBron ran out of gas. You can tell. He just wasn't doing as much in the last few minutes.
Right, which just, it makes sense that he's running out of gas because he's carried them so much to this point. They had two game sevens on the way here, which, again, the Raptors have now lost, let's count. They lost twice in the first round, then they got swept by the Cavs, so it's six, then they had three losses to the Celtics by the fact that the Cavs then lost to the Celtics, or that the Cavs lost to the Celtics three times, so there's nine. And let's just assume that the Warriors are gonna sweep them. So there's an extra four. So 13. The Raptors now have 13 losses in the NBA playoffs this year because you couldn't even look competitive. You got swept so bad by the Cavaliers that every loss from that point on gets added on to yours. Just because Toronto, I'm that angry at you. God, I'm so angry at them.
I know. I'm so disappointed in the Raptors. They hyped up their change of place so much. They got the number one seed. And then
I believe in them. I was so in on them. And they really were a different team in the sense that they played different, and they played different against the Cavs, and they were a better team against the Cavs this year than they would have been last year. And it didn't matter. Oh, it was so frustrating.
Yeah, as I mentioned multiple times, those layups that they missed, if they only made one, this would be a different playoffs.
So, those layups are Nick Anderson?
Well, wow. That's more on you than me, because that's your team, boy. That's your team.
I like to cause myself pain. I like to cause myself a lot of pain. Okay, but reference Game 3 again. It's kind of incredible how Game 2, we can just kind of throw that. Well, Game 2 was actually more competitive than I think the final score says it was. Just the Warriors kind of ran away with it at the end when Curry and Thompson started going off. Game 3 and Game 1 were really the games where the Cavs could have really won, because in Game 1, LeBron scores 50, and J.R. Smith has that just legendary mistake, and George Hill misses that free throw. Like, that's a game the Cavs should have won. That is a game that it does not matter what happened in overtime. They should have won it in regulation. The game should be, like, this should be a 3-1 series, or last night should have been a 1-1 series.
2-1.
Yeah, or 2-1 series. 2-1. Math is hard.
Yeah.
I'm a mather. So, they should have won Game 1, but then last night, Curry goes 1 for 10 from 3. 3 for 16 from the floor. 11 points. You gotta take that! You can't... I know Kevin Durant had 43 points, and on 23 shots, which is just absurd.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. You have to take that. You can't give up a game where Curry is off because the Warriors are Steph Curry. The Warriors' offense is Steph Curry, as great as Kevin Durant is.
It's not just Curry. Nobody scored more than 11 points on that team. It's just all Kevin Durant.
Right. You basically just got beat by Kevin Durant. And I know Curry, at the end of the game, he had two clutch shots, which really, that kind of swung it for the Warriors and won the game. It equaled it all. It had that huge dunk, but someone needs to... And you know what's been really interesting to me in this entire series so far? Usually when the Cavs play the Warriors, Kevin Love gets kind of thrown off the floor. He can't help. Usually the Warriors run him off the floor. He's been great.
Yeah.
He had 20 points last night. I think he had 22 in game one. He's been fine.
He had a double-double by the first half.
Right. He's been great. Now, he's had moments where he's kind of disappeared because he can't carry the team the way LeBron carries the team, but he has been, what you want from him, he's been fantastic.
Yeah.
But just, they need something. And I know they got something out of Rodney Hood last night, which that was a shocker considering how bad Rodney Hood has been in the playoffs before that point. But Kyle Korver has been gone from the playoffs. He doesn't exist. Larry Nance, he's kind of there, but not really. J.R. Smith, where are you? Where's J.R. Smith?
Good start. Good start last night. Good start. But
good start.
Disappeared after.
They need... George Hill, where have you been at all? George Hill is supposed to be better at home, and he's really hasn't been. Their wings just can't help them. And it's so noticeable. They need... If they even had a little more something... And again, I'm going to go back to the fact... I know Game 2 was a blowout. This series has been way more competitive than I was expecting it to be.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
I think Cleveland was a better team last year than they are this year, but I feel like this series has been... Despite the fact that it's been 3-0 both times, I feel like Cleveland has had way more of a chance to win these games than they did last year, when really they only had a chance in Game 3, and they won Game 4.
Mm-hmm.
And Durant made that... He did it again, man. I know it wasn't the same exact shot, but he did it again.
It's unfair.
At the end.
It's unfair. And it's like, all of your weapons aren't working, you still got Kevin Durant. That's what they got him for. And it's just unfair. And I know people are turned off by that the Warriors have too many guns. Just too many. Too many. And yet the Cavs are competing with these guys.
I get it. I really do. I get why that's frustrating for fans. And I'm never going to tell fans that they can't be fans. I'm a fan. As a basketball fan, it is a bummer that Kevin Durant went to a 73-win team and made them the most unstoppable force ever. That said, you were right that the reason they went and got Kevin Durant isn't because they can't beat LeBron without Kevin Durant. Like, they can beat LeBron without Kevin Durant. I fully believe that a team that won 73 games and was up 3-1 in the NBA Finals without Kevin Durant could have beaten LeBron, can beat LeBron James in the NBA Finals and doesn't need injuries to do it. I'm pretty sure they can do that.
Yeah.
That said, the reason they got Durant was because not only did they take a weapon away from them, because that same year where they gave up the 3-1 lead, Kevin Durant was up them on 3-1. Kevin Durant and LeBron James are the only two players in the NBA talented enough on their own to really challenge the Warriors in a way. The Rockets kind of proved that they, James Harden and Chris Paul together kind of proved this year that they can kind of do it, and even then they need to play almost perfect basketball to do it. Those two are the only players on an individual level talent-wise are good enough to really push the Warriors the way they do.
Yeah.
And when you go out and get one of those players and then add them to your team, not only did you take away one of the guys good enough to beat you, you then are pretty much just almost unstoppable to the only other guy in the NBA that can beat you unless he plays the most perfect basketball he can possibly play and then gets help that he might not even have. Like, it's insane. It's absolutely insane.
Yeah, and I get from a competitive standpoint, I totally get that. But I guess if you want to watch the best basketball there is, then there's the Golden State Warriors, right?
Right.
I mean,
some people, that's all they want. They just want to watch the best basketball you can possibly watch.
Yeah.
I find it, like, one of the things I find interesting is the questions of Durant's legacy.
Yeah.
I personally am of the belief that in the present time, no one is going to ever respect Durant's rings, and that's perfectly okay. You went to a 73-win team that didn't really need you and won your rings there. But as far as legacy goes, in the present time, no one is ever – like, Durant won his first ring last year, and no one cared. The fact that Durant won a ring and an NBA Finals MVP was a subhead to the major storyline of the Warriors of the championship and might be one of the greatest teams ever. Like, that was the main storyline last year. Historically, though, I don't think anyone – if Durant stays in Golden State for the rest of his career, or at least for this portion of his career, and wins 3 or 4 rings, I don't think in 20 to 30 years anyone's going to care what he did. They're just going to say, oh, he won multiple titles on those really good Warrior teams and was a really big factor in them, and was arguably the best player on those teams. I don't care. He's an all-time great player to me. But
So imagine if we had Twitter, let's just pretend, Twitter in 1980, right?
Korea.
And we see the Lakers run off 5 titles, the Celtics run off 3 titles. Is anyone gonna say that, hey, that's unfair? You have Kareem, Worthy and Magic and Bird, Mikhail Parrish. Like, that's unfair, right?
Right. Now, I will say, every once in a while, teams would kind of randomly, like the Sixers one time, randomly ran through and ruined that whole thing. And that does kind of historically help it. It's nice when you every once in a while, you randomly get a team that just breaks the mold. The Rockets were supposed to be that team this year. They were supposed to be the team who you have all these consecutive repeat matchups, but then at least one time you got a random matchup between teams you weren't expecting. Like, the Knicks and Rockets and the Magic and Rockets kind of did that in the 90s with Jordan, and Jordan was always playing different teams. So you at least had something that was a little bit different. Constantly having the same teams is a little annoying to see. But I'm glad you mentioned the 80s, because I think if we're going to go with legacy players, Durant and Kareem are very interesting comparisons, because Kareem is an all-time great player, and most people, while they acknowledge that, don't really seem to care as much, if that makes sense to, if that makes sense to you.
Yeah. And wasn't there some sort of trade demand by Kareem that he wanted out of Milwaukee and wanted to go to L.A.?
If I remember correctly, not that the same thing he won a title in Milwaukee, and then he said, now let me be free, or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Not that's the same thing as, like, going to a 73-win team, mind you.
These aren't the same things, but just it's one of those things where if you're going to – I think he's an interesting comparison where people are probably going to remember Durant as this incredible all-time great player who just no one really likes that much. Like, he's always going to be the guy that gets left – he's always going to be the guy that when fans make their these are my top 10 players in the NBA history list. That kind of gets left off unfairly. It's like, why'd you leave him off? He was great. It's like, oh, you know what? I don't really know why I left him off. Like, that's kind of what Kareem's role is. That's probably going to end up being what happens to Durant, because
yeah,
people are probably going to end up in 20 or 30 years from now putting Curry ahead of him if he stays with Curry the entire time, because people always see those Warriors teams as Curry's team.
Exactly. And people can make the argument that Kareem had a better career than Magic Johnson, but people are always saying Magic is better than Kareem.
Right. That's where I think Durant's kind of whole thing is going to go, where it's like, you have an arguably better player who arguably did more great things, who's arguably more important to his team, and, well, nope, sorry, it's Magic over Kareem, and it's Curry over Durant, even though most people will tell you today, well, Durant's a better player than Steph Curry on an individual level.
Right. So let's talk about revisionist history, right? Because I know you got mad over this when I told you about this.
Oh my
but...
god, this is infuriating!
So, the last few days, people were talking about how LeBron has no help, right? And that's a fair assessment. Now, we have people saying that Kobe Bryant had no help from 2008 to 2010, when we clearly know these teams were so stacked!
This is one of the things that I always hate whenever we talk about teams historically, and the Lakers, I guess it's the Kobe Lakers time to shine. Whenever anyone, usually with LeBron, starts doing something, and people start going, well, you know, look at his help. Immediately, everyone goes, well, you know who else did it without help? Michael Jordan. Okay, so I guess Scottie Pippen and Dennis Rodman weren't two of the greatest players that ever played. You know who did it without
not
help?
Not only that.
Larry Bird.
Not only that. Tony Kukoc, right?
Yeah,
Steve Kerr,
coach, like,
right?
Steve Kerr, like, you know, all these times, it's like, you know who else did it with no help? Larry Bird. It's like, because, you know, Kevin McHale, Robert Parrish, you know, all these incredible players that dominated the 80s. You know, they were nothing. They're not Hall of Famers. Who cares about them? And so this always happens, and it always happens with LeBron, no less. And then we get to freaking Kobe, which this is recent history, too. We're really going to pretend that Pau Gasol and Lamar Odom weren't incredible players who did so much to those teams to help Kobe win those championships? Because I remember that time. I love that 2009 Magic team. That Magic team is one of my favorite teams ever. The narrative going into that whole thing was, man, are we sure Kobe can win without Shaq? That was a real discussion that went on. The reason he was able to win without Shaq is because he had Pau Gasol and Lamar Odom there helping him. And they were incredible players. And you know what? That's fine, because Kobe needed those players, just like how every all-time great needs someone there to help him. Everyone has help. Everyone needs help. Kobe had help. Lamar Odom and Pau Gasol were incredible players. Never say they were not. They were not help. Oh my god, that is infuriating to me to hear.
By the way,
so infuriating.
Let's go back to 2008, right? So they said he had no help there either. But if I recall correctly, they got off to a great start because Andrew Bynum broke out. 25-11, first in the West. Then Bynum got hurt. They needed help, so they got Pau Gasol. People don't remember this. And then remember this. Coach Pop got mad at the Gasol trade. He wanted that rescinded.
Yeah, I think most people did, because it was the... Obviously, Marc Gasol's not really amazing, but like, I'm going to pull up the trade so I can get it accurate, like, off the top of my head.
Yeah.
But the trade was so laughably one-sided that everyone was like, are you effing kidding? On February 1st, 2008, Gasol was traded to the Los Angeles Lakers along with a 2010 second-round draft pick for Kwame Brown, Javaris Crittenden, Aaron McKee, and the rights to Marc Gasol, Powell's younger brother.
Hey, what's up? This is Blake Murphy from Raptors Republic and a bunch of other places. You're listening to the Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast.
Let's go over that. Javaris Crittenden, in jail. Aaron McKee, retired.
Aaron McKee was drafted at point two.
Yeah, like I said, Aaron McKee was retired at that point.
And Marc Gasol, wasn't he like a late second-round pick that was overweight at the time and we didn't know was going to turn into a Defensive Player of the Year candidate?
Yeah, and the thing is that the reason why Memphis is defending this is because, well, we're rebuilding anyway. Let's just get rid of everybody and we'll take Marc Gasol. That's what it was. So I guess looking back, I don't blame him that much.
But it was
still
a horrendous one-sided trade. It was worse than the Chris Paul trade that actually did get rescinded.
It's crazy.
We're going to say that Pau Gasol was no help. Pau Gasol, the guy who was so good in Memphis that he took some... You want to talk about guys with no help? Pau Gasol took some pretty impressively bad Memphis teams to the playoffs.
Yeah. And not only that, but they were doing the whole hockey substitutions of Hubie Brown at the time.
Oh, my God. Yes, you're right. Okay. So, and speaking of Andrew Bynum, who you mentioned earlier as breaking out,
yeah.
Bynum was so good as a young big man that when the Magic were forced to trade Dwight Howard, he was seen as the centerpiece of a potential Dwight Howard trade. Like, he wanted to go to Brooklyn initially, which was always dumb. There was never a reasonable trade there. So he got sent to L.A., and initially everyone thought, well, the Magic are going to get Andrew Bynum, right? Because Andrew Bynum is the next young big man that's going to break out in the NBA. That's how good he was.
Obviously,
that's kind of what happened with, because it turns out Andrew Bynum probably really didn't like basketball as much. So, yes, Kobe had help. He had Andrew Bynum. He had Pau Gasol. He had a good Andrew Bynum. He had Pau Gasol. He had Lamar Odom, who, in my opinion, if you're going to take a player and throw them into modern times and watch them become a superstar, Lamar Odom is the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is my pick for take a player from a former era and throw them into modern times and watch them explode. That is what Lamar Odom would do. And he was already an incredible player. He would be a superstar in today's NBA with his ability to create and be a everyman type player.
Yeah, exactly. 6'10", can defend all five positions. I think the only real weakness was his shooting three-pointers, but, I mean, you can learn that, right? So,
right. He played in an era where they weren't really encouraging that. Now imagine if he gets in one where, like, they want you to shoot this.
Yeah, exactly. So, but no, they weren't stacked at all. The team won 65 games in 2009. Like, come on, man. And 2010, they were kind of taking it easy because Kobe was injured for a little bit, but they still won 57 and they were the number one seed. Like, come on.
We cannot be revisionist history with our history. We cannot be stupid like this. If we are stupid like this, we run risk to being to ruining so many things.
Yeah. So, another thing that kind of bothers me, I'm not sure if you agree with me on this one, but everyone, I mean, I kind of get now that LeBron James didn't have the greatest teammates in 2009-2010. I get that. But people were saying that they never picked them in the finals when everybody was picking Lakers, Cavs in those years. Am I right?
Yes. Those were people. You know what? The 2009 Magic. This is apparently turned into the 2009 Magic pod. The 2009 Magic are one of the most historically underappreciated teams ever. Yes, I am going there. One of the most historically underappreciated teams ever for changing the way we play offense today. They were one of the first teams to do the whole one-in, four-out offense and shoot a ton of three-pointers. They shot so many three-pointers. They had a rim protector. They did all the things that we really see in modern basketball now. Obviously, the Warriors have taken that and ran with it, but they were one of the first teams to do that.
Mm-hmm.
They are so historically underappreciated for that. And people, I think part of the reason that is because everyone hates them for ruining LeBron versus Kobe. Because they never got LeBron versus Kobe. That was the year they had all those stupid puppet commercials, and as me and my little high school Magic fandom was like, oh, you're going to get it. You're going to be mad when Dwight Howard dunks all over you. I hated those commercials. And then Dwight Howard turned out to be the corniest player in the NBA. Who'd have thunk?
Never forget people get
a ball from grace.
Yeah, it's like a Kevin Durant trajectory, you know what I mean? It's so weird.
Dwight Howard was at one point the most popular player in the NBA. Never forget that.
People forget that he really was. We liked Dwight Howard back in the day.
Everyone loved Dwight Howard. Watch a clip of the 2008 dunk contest, and people are always like, man, you know, I really like that Dwight Howard guy. He has a great personality. It's like, no one ever say that now.
Totally. Yeah. And now, oh, man, I don't want to predict anything, but, I wonder who's going to be, the next player that's going to kind of fall from grace where everyone likes him, and then, 3-4 years later, everyone's going to hate him. Like we have with Dwight Howard and now Kevin Durant.
I kind of think it's going to be Giannis, because I think Giannis is going to be a villain.
You really want that burner account, don't you?
I really want that burner account. No, see, I think Giannis has that kind of competitive fire in him where I think he's a legitimately nice guy, but kind of like how Chris Paul was a player who a lot of people used to really like, and then when he went to Los Angeles, he kind of became an a-hole, and everyone was like, man, I hate that Chris Paul guy. I think that's kind of become Giannis, where Giannis has that competitive fire in him where people are going to be like, God, I hate that Giannis guy. He's just such a jerk on the court. It's like, yeah, but how... Like, of course he's a jerk on the court. He's that kind of competitor. So I think that's kind of... He might have some potential to be one of those players who has a bit of a fall from grace like that.
Hmm.
I'm also trying to think of who got a bunch of all-star votes this year.
Donovan Mitchell, maybe?
He's a... here's an easy one. Joel Embiid.
Hmm.
People are going to get tired of the act eventually.
Yeah, people are... I've seen people turn on him already. So, yeah, I can see that. Definitely.
Right, people are already tired of the... People are already tired of the jokes and the act and everything, so he's going to totally have a fall from grace. There's no way.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, it's Pamela Horton, Miss October 2012, and you're listening to Ray Ray It's Fundamental Podcast.
I know you wanted this podcast because you were so excited to talk about, guess what, another basketball player in a video game. Shaq Fu for PlayStation 4.
Shaq Fu, the Legend Reborn.
Okay, I've never played the game. I did play the Shaq Fu fighting game for the Super Nintendo, and God, was it a horrible game.
That is one of the worst games ever made.
Yeah. So, what's so different about this one?
Okay, the first big difference is this one's a beat-em-up style game and not a fighting game.
Okay.
So, if you've ever played, like, Streets of Rage or Rampage or any of those kinds of games, it's not about... You know, it's not classic Street Fighter fighting or Shaq Fu fighting. It's you go through the side-scroller, Double Dragon style, beat up on everyone around you, then advance to the next screen.
Uh-huh.
That's the biggest difference. The other is there is voice acting, because it's a modern game, so it has to have voice acting.
Done by Shaq, right?
Done by Shaq, yes, and other... I want to see who's in this game, actually. I want to see who else.
Yeah, these days, games they hire big time actors out to do these things.
There's no way this one did, because the reason this game even exists is it was an Indiegogo campaign that raised $30,000, or is that how much it raised? Let's find out. Shaq Fu, The Legend Reborn, Indiegogo. I wasn't expecting that to actually okay. It raised $458,000. That was the budget for this game. That's a surprising amount of money, to be honest.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, but at the same time, it is very much a $458,000 game, because it is. In an era where video games are made with millions of dollars and have really expensive budgets, unless you're one of the indie developers. It plays like a AAA title where they very clearly had a very low budget, because it is, it's a video game, that's for sure.
it's basically a Super Nintendo video game, right? Like, that's what it's like a 1995 good video game.
Right, it's with updated graphics, but honestly, the biggest issue with the new Shaq Fu game is, well, actually, no, this isn't the biggest issue. I'll get to the biggest issue in a little bit. The gameplay of the new Shaq Fu game is very stilted. It's hard to move. So one of the things that's really annoying about it is Shaq himself runs around very slowly. So when you're trying to get around to go fight like bad guys and stuff, you're trying to like move around. It's a beat 'em up, so you need to be quick. Because he moves so slowly, you're trying to jump around and roll a lot. He can't go up or down when he jumps. Like, he can only jump from left to right. He can't go
right.
He can't go vertically at all. You can't go north-south.
So, 1995 video game.
Right. The issue is the way he does get up and down quickly is he has this roll move that isn't particularly quick.
Uh-huh.
So, what will happen sometimes is you'll get surrounded by enemies and the only way to get out is for you to roll, but you're going to get beat up really bad if you try and roll through all these enemies. So, you try to jump out and then you realize, oh, I can't jump up. I can't jump out and get up there quickly. So you just jump straight in the air, then you immediately fall back into all the danger that was you were trying to escape from. So you'll have a lot of moments where you die for the dumbest reasons, because Shaq couldn't figure out how to jump in a different direction, which is just amazingly frustrating and amazingly annoying. But all this aside, the combat is honestly, like, I'd put it mediocre. It's stilted, it's a little sluggish, I'd call it mediocre at best.
Mm-hmm.
The reason this is a bad video game is the writing is truly, truly horrendous.
I watched some of your Twitch footage, and it made a Jenny Craig reference. You kids don't know what Jenny Craig is because it's a freaking diet fad in the 90s. Come on, man. It's 2018.
Jenny Craig, the second line of the entire game. You didn't even see this on the Twitch stream because I wasn't streaming it to this point. The second line in the entire game, he makes a General Tso's chicken reference because he's in China. He says, in the land of General Tso's chicken. Because he's
wow.
in China. Yes. That is
of course.
That is the second line of the entire game. Like, you start the game, and that's one of the things. And you're just like, really? Like, that's what we're going to do? Which gets into one of the common jokes they like to do, which is that he is a tall, giant black man living in China for, like, that's where he learned, I'm going to say Kung Fu, but it's not Kung Fu. It's like a made-up fighting style that they created.
Called Shaq Fu.
Right. It's not even called Shaq Fu. It's called something else. Oh, yeah, we'll just call it fighting Shaq Fu. That works. So he's using Shaq Fu, which he learned in China. And he constantly says, like, oh, I'm Chinese. It's like, no, you're a giant black man. You're not Chinese. You're not Chinese, man. And it would be one thing if they just kind of made the joke where it's like, oh, I'm Chinese because I grew up in China, so I think I'm Chinese or I'm not actually. But they try to build off the joke and do more with it. Like, at one point, you fight ninjas, and it's like, you're a ninja. He's like, no, I'm not a ninja. Ninjas are Japanese. Do I look Japanese to you? Which, that falls flat. If I was 14, this game would be hilarious to me, because 14-year-olds, anything that's even, like, kind of offensive is amazing and hilarious, because 14-year-olds are the worst people on Earth. So if I was 14, this game would be funny. But I'm not 14. I'm 25, so So the game, it clearly thinks it's self-aware. It's trying to be ironic. It's trying to be weird. And I can actually kind of appreciate that. It wants to be Shaq Fu, too, because it wants to be aware this game shouldn't exist. It only exists because of an Indiegogo. We're going to, like, have some fun with that.
Yeah.
But in their efforts to be ironic and have some Shaq humor to it, it just falls flat in so many points to where you're just like, ugh, this needs to stop. Please make it stop. Like, just stop talking. Just stop doing the right. Just stop writing. I will just go through every fight like it's an old classic game in the 80s where there is no text. You just go from stage to stage and kind of figure out things that way. Just because every time they talk, I want them to stop.
Is it two player?
One of the bosses is a butt. A little butt.
Of course it is.
Yes.
Is it two player?
I don't know. Let me find that. I didn't check that out. I would assume yes, to be honest.
There's nothing better than one Shaq than two Shaqs.
No, there's no way it's two player. They probably didn't have enough money to put two player in.
It's a fighting game. It's a beat 'em up game. Why can't it be two players?
Wait, what the? Okay. If you want this game for whatever godforsaken reason, do not buy it online. It is $40 online. It was $30 at GameStop. And $30 was honestly like a little too much. I would honestly wait for this to drop down to like 20, maybe 15. Then you can consider it. Yeah, maybe 10, maybe 5. maybe just watch a Twitch stream of it. Because you kind of get the gist of it really quickly.
I'm just laughing you actually bought it. I didn't think anyone else would buy it. I thought I would buy it like 6 months later. I didn't think anyone would buy it like the first month or so.
Right? Nope, I was like, well, I don't have anything to do tonight. I'm going to go buy Shaq Fu. And then I finished Yakuza 0 that night instead and played Shaq Fu the next day. But that is because Yakuza 0 is an actually good video game.
Well, to be fair, I play bad games too. I recently played the Japanese version of Power Rangers.
Like, it's like kind of like watching a bad movie where I intentionally wanted to experience how bad it was. Like, this is my decision. I have no one to blame for this but myself.
Yeah, I'm the same way. You've seen my game collection, right? It has Spice World. It has Britney Spears Dance Beat. It's Get to the Show. Like, these are... Well, Britney Spears is actually pretty good, but the other two games are really bad.
Right, but there's a certain enjoyment. It's like bad movies. There's a certain enjoyment to watching this, to playing this bad video game and like embracing just how bad it was, which is why I realized so quickly that I had to stream it. because originally I was just going to play through it and kind of tweet out commentary every once in a while. I think I got less than 5 minutes in before I went, I have to stream this because there is no way I can properly express to people how this game is without showing them, like, how stupid it is.
Yeah, I will watch more of the Twitch stream later on tonight. But, yeah, I've been telling my friend to beat Resident Evil 1 because of bad. The voice acting is so horrendous.
That is a beautiful version of bad voice acting. Like,
it's
that
fantastic.
Was almost intentional.
Yeah.
Like, that was one of those things where, like, you don't even. Where you almost think they intentionally did it for how bad it was because it makes the game better.
Yeah.
You were almost classic a Jill sandwich.
Classic lines like. Barry, you're here too. Jill, you're here too. Like, they're repeating everything. Like, it's great.
I hope this isn't Chris's blood. The opening cutscene is one of my favorite cuts ever. Jason!
That's right!
No, don't go!
Yeah. I'm about to leave, like, a 10-minute video. I saw a 10-minute edit of, like, the bad voice acting Resident Evil on YouTube. I'm going to put that on your social media soon, so get ready for that.
Do it. I'm gonna watch that while eating dinner tonight.
Awesome. All right, so I guess that's it. Oh my god, we went over a lot today, but thanks so much for coming on. Chris, go ahead and publicize your social media, your internet work, your burner accounts, whatever else we want to publicize.
You will not find my burner accounts, but if you want to find me, you can find me at Chris Barnwell on Twitter, and check out CBSSports.com. We have tons of awesome content for the NBA Finals up there, and you won't want to miss any of it.
Oh, I don't even know how to finish this, but thanks for coming on, and I will watch some more Shaq Fu later on tonight, and you can watch some Resident Evil bad voice acting. It'll be great.
Just don't play Shaq Fu. Just let that be my personal bad decision. That's my piece of advice today. Also, never tweet.
Never tweet. Thanks, guys.
#BlameRayRay.